Thanks for listening to the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio.
John Gruden's the bad guy because of last night, right? He, like the six other new coaches, all lost their inaugural game as a head coach in the NFL. We saw Matt Patricia, another Patriots assistant, looking overwhelmed at being a head coach. I'm beginning to think that Patriots assistants are a lot like Guinness beer. I don't know if you know this. A good friend of mine, Dave Revson, he once lived abroad in Ireland, and the Irish will tell you that Guinness beer, the further it gets from the brewery, the worse the beer is. That's what Patriots assistants tend to be. The further they get from Foxborough, the worse they get. But John Gruden's the bad guy because he traded away Khalil Mack, and then they had no pass rush and they couldn't get to Jared Goff. And people are like, see, told you. No one's arguing that they wouldn't be demonstrably better defensively with Khalil Mack. That's a stupid argument. You're like, well, they just, obviously they miss Khalil. Of course they do. No one's arguing that Khalil Mack is awesome. Is he $90 million guaranteed awesome and two first-round draft picks awesome? Right? They're going to get worse defensively when you take one of the best players in the league off of their team. So if you're making that argument, congratulations. In the short term, you're going to win that argument 10 times in 10. The question becomes, in the long term, were the Raiders better off? And by John Gruden's estimation, a guy who has built a winner in Oakland before, a guy who's been a part of a winner in Tampa, and a guy who's evaluated the NFL for the decade he's been out of the league, he's betting on yes. But what you don't realize is that John Gruden's gamble, if you will, was because he had Derek Carr under contract making franchise quarterback money. And the big takeaway from last night is, you know, I don't know if Derek Carr has it. It's not that you could have traded Derek Carr and got two first-round draft picks back in return to take that contract off. It's not that you didn't think, hey, maybe you could, you know, John Gruden, like any guy, thinks I can fix him. I can fix any quarterback. I had four quarterbacks in Tampa, and I tried to make them all kind of work. But I'm not surprised that the Raiders didn't have a pass rush when they traded away Khalil Mack for two first-round draft picks and cap flexibility in the long-term future. What I am surprised about is Derek Carr may not be who we thought he was. The guy of 2 years ago, the miracle finishes, the fourth down conversions, all the upside, all the hope. That may have been the exception, and the rule might be what we saw last night, which was panic at times under pressure, an inability to step up and make the big throw, and a couple of just bizarre interceptions. They were in that game at the half when they were on schedule, when they were on script. When he was left to his own devices and just had to make plays, he couldn't. Of course they stunk at pass rush. They lost one of the best players in the league. More surprising was the ineffectiveness and inefficiency at the quarterback position, one that they had chosen to invest in and have decided to build their entire team around. Right, speaking of quarterback, coming up next, we'll get to the preliminary game, the Jets versus the Lions. You want to talk about starting off with a thud and ending with a bang? That's Sam Darnold. But that bang was heard in other parts of the league. Share with you where that was upcoming next. But first, you know, it's not smart. It's not smart to make the lottery the centerpiece of your retirement. Just like there are a lot of job sites that make you wait for the right candidates to apply for your job. Not smart. You know what is smart? Going to ZipRecruiter.com/Doug to hire the right person. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. It's powerful matching technology. It scans thousands of resumes and identifies people with the right skills, education, and experience for your job, and actively invites them to apply so you get qualified candidates fast. That's why ZipRecruiter is rated number one by employers in the U.S. This comes from hiring sites on Trustpilot with over 1,000 reviews. Right now, you can get ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At this exclusive web address. Write it down or put it to memory. ZipRecruiter.com/Doug. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Doug. One more time, ZIP, ZipRecruiter.com/Doug. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at noon Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I told you so. You know? And now, look, is there some confirmation bias in it, right? Like, I believed Sam Darnold was the best quarterback prospect, sure. Did I have some helpful hints and tips from my NFL sources? Absolutely. But there's just a sense around Darnold that you get that he's built for this sort of job. Right? He's built for this sort of job. Just guys, people just believe in him. He covers weaknesses. He overcomes his own mistakes. He's got an aw shucks, I don't know everything sort of personality. But in addition to the Jets fans feeling like we finally found a guy who's capable of getting us back to the playoffs and being a consistent, solid starting quarterback, how do you feel if you're the New York Giants? Like, Saquon Barkley is good. He's not bad. But taking Saquon Barkley at number two when you could have had a legit starting quarterback, a passing of the torch. Everyone knew the torch needed to be passed. Everyone. Everyone knew. The owner. The Jerry Reese, the old general manager. The head coach. You know, Ben McAdoo. There's a lot of things that he was not. But one of the things he was... he was brought in to save Eli Manning's career, and even he couldn't save Eli Manning's career. It was time to look for the next guy. You got to look for the next guy. And because of fear of ramification, anyone who had come at Eli Manning in the past had gotten stomped. That's the first family in football. They didn't even want to bench him. They wanted to bench him. No, they didn't. They wanted to use other players when the game was out of hand in the second half and a season that was going nowhere with no wide receivers, a limited offensive line. And yeah, maybe as Ben McAdoo has said, maybe his bedside manner could have been better. But the truth is that he was as upfront as any human being could ever be in the National Football League. Called Eli in and said, hey man, look, you're great. We still think you're great, but we got to see what else we got on this roster. And they cowered to public pressure after one game of starting Geno Smith. And the only reason they started Geno Smith was it was probably the right thing to do. Right? They're trying to get some value to potentially trade Geno Smith. Because Geno is in New York and Giants fans think that because he stunk with the Jets, he would stink with them. And he might have stunk with them anyway, did stink with them anyway. Not understanding what all was at play. You watched last night and you're a Giants fan, you are sick to your stomach. Sick to your stomach. Just like if you're a Bills fan, you got to be sick watching Pat Mahomes throw around, right? Could have had him the year before. Could have had him. It's not even about whether or not Saquon would be good. Will a great running back ever be as valuable as a great quarterback? And the answer is no. Don't believe me. It's not just watching the Jets play last night. It's watching the Packers play the night before. If you have a great quarterback, you always got a chance. You got a great running back, you got a great running back. So, and, you know, I think if Gurley's the best guy in the league, he's important. But what's more important is, can Jared Goff play? So if I'm Cleveland, I'm sick to my stomach, not because Baker Mayfield's not good, but everyone's told you Darnold's better. And Darnold has that ability to to compartmentalize that you have to have. Throws a pick his first play. Imagine if you throw a pick your first play. You know, Monday Night Football, you're the youngest quarterback to start in NFL history. And you roll out, you run the play that was called, you hold on to it a little bit too long, you throw it across your body, and they don't just pick it off. They run back and score six on you. You're down 7-0 before you ever batted an eye. Your first pass from scrimmage. What did he do? He dusted himself off. He had himself a nice ball game. Like, do I think he's Jesus in cleats? Not yet. But I thought, and I think, he's the best quarterback prospect, and he's built for the type of situations he would have assumed in Cleveland, or even being a backup and waiting his chance with the Giants. Instead, the Jets, who made a horrible trade, put themselves third in the pecking order, end up the beneficiary. And you know what? Good for the Jets. What is it? The meek shall inherit the earth? Well, the Jets have been the meek for a long time. Reverberations around the league because Mahomes looks like he's the real deal, and so too does Sam Darnold. Whereas Mitchell Trubisky, once it went off script, doesn't have it. Doesn't seem to have it. Derek Carr, when it went off script, not sure he has it. You can just tell. Watch the game closely enough, and you can just tell.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at noon Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
Todd Bowles has done an exceptional job. Of course, his first year there, 10 wins, Ryan Fitzpatrick's his quarterback, and then Fitz holds out last year. Fitz holds out shortly thereafterwards. And obviously the Jets were a mess the following year, 5-11. And last year they tried to be bad. They were trying to tank. But it's hard to tell a coach who's fighting for his job, you need to tank five wins with that talent group. And kind of interesting here is Sheldon Richardson gone, Muhammad Wilkerson gone. And everybody's, I've heard this narrative of, you know, you don't trade Khalil Mack or get rid of Khalil Mack in his prime. Okay. Other teams have. In an effort to rebuild. You know, Dolphins did it. You know, Titans aren't world beaters, but they've done it. Of course, you know, the New England Patriots did it with Jamie Collins. They've done it several times. So Richard Seymour was jettisoned to the Raiders. So I think it's really foolish to point out and just sit there and go like in the immediacy. It's not a trade player for player. Right? This isn't like watching the Cavs against the Celtics the second week of the season going like, hey, Cavs got the better. Like, it's not, you traded a player for cap space and two first round picks. Of course, you're not going to be better in terms of personnel on the football field. An idiot could tell you that. But we repeat this moronic narrative that somehow like Gruden didn't know they would be immediately worse having traded him away. Like, yeah, I get it. He wasn't showing up unless we showed him the money, and we didn't have the money to, nor did we want to spend that sort of money on a player. Anyway, Bowles winning five games last year showed that he could get the guys to fight. And the way in which they played yesterday with a patchwork offensive line, no name wide receivers, a tight end that you couldn't pick out of a lineup, and a defense that played their tails off, it should be pointed out that when Todd Bowles was in Arizona as their defensive coordinator, he was the assistant coach of the year. Look at the defense of the Cardinals the second he got there to the second he left. That guy's terrific. And sure, you got to figure out about being a head coach. And they've had to kind of work on the fly. I mean, think about who his quarterbacks have been. Geno Smith and Ryan Fitzpatrick, right? And Ryan Fitzpatrick only filled in for Geno Smith because Geno got hurt. And the only reason that he got hurt was because he got punched by another teammate because he no-showed for his charity event. That happened. He won 10 games with Fitz. Then Fitz held out because he wanted crazy starting quarterback money. They met him in the middle, and Ryan Fitzpatrick, the air was let out of the balloon. They came back down to earth. Then last year they tanked and actually won 2 to 3 times more games than anybody thought possible with that talent. I think the winner last night was Todd Bowles. Like, damn, that guy can coach. Yeah, he can coach. Whereas McDermott up in, I mean, it's always fascinating to me. Sean McDermott is up in Buffalo. Like, that was the guy who took over for Jim Johnson in Philadelphia as their defensive coordinator when Jim Johnson got sick. And he was awful. And then he was good for a year in Carolina when they went to a Super Bowl and bad the next year, and he gets the Buffalo job. Like, dude, everyone's talking about the, and rightfully so, the Giants screwed up, the Browns screwed up, the Jets have their quarterback. They might also have their head coach.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
If we want to track back 2 years ago, I was telling everyone who had listened that when Tony Romo comes back, he's the better option. So some of this is confirmation bias. Some of it is me telling you something 2 years ago, knowing the league, knowing that most people at the time, most people in the league thought that Romo by fans was underrated. By fans was underrated, and fans felt like Jerry Jones overrated him. But Romo took some bad teams to becoming playoff teams. He really did. And when he had a viable defense, when he had a decent offensive, when he had a good offensive line, they were a really good team. When he got hurt, they were not very good. And then Dak Prescott replaced him 2 years ago, led them to a 13-3 record. They had a tremendous offensive line, tremendous running back in Ezekiel Elliott, a fairly simple game plan in which he would look for, usually for Dez, occasionally for other guys. He would have Jason Witten as his safety blanket, or he's a really good athlete, really smart guy as far as tucking the ball and running it. But at some point, you have to evolve into being a franchise quarterback, making players better than what they are on their own. And I don't think Dak has that in him. I think he's fine. Look at the quarterbacks from that class, and there's a reason that he was evaluated at the level he was evaluated. Carson Wentz was the top guy because Carson Wentz is a dude. He's an MVP. He would have won the MVP had he not gotten hurt, right? Here's Jerry Jones earlier today on 105.3 The Fan in Dallas.
We've got a quarterback that is somewhere between the one that you saw with the Rams last night and somewhere and Cam Newton. He can do some of what both of those guys do. There's an old adage in looking and evaluating a player. If you've seen them do it a few times, they can do it. And if you've seen them do it, well, frankly, all of our fans have seen Dak do it. Well, you know it's there. You know he's got it.
So there's a certain sense of, hey, I think he's got more in him than he's shown in him. And, hey, I think he's got some Cam Newton to him. Now, saying he's like Cam Newton will sound like the term of complete respect because Cam Newton has been the MVP of the league. But Cam Newton is a little bit of a loaded name. And I don't even mean the Cam Newton in terms of dancing or, any of the distractions that sometimes he can cause with the things that he can say. But like, look, Cam Newton is not crazy accurate. He is better running during times of stress. And the offense has to be simplified because of his lack of intricate accuracy. Like saying you're like a kind of a poor man's Cam Newton would sound like a, like you could make that into a compliment. Like, hey, Cam Newton is MVP. Poor man's Cam Newton is not exactly a slam. On the other hand, it's not like he said, look, he's a top five quarterback in any league, anywhere in the world. He's as good as Brady. He's as good as Rodgers. He's as good as Breeze. He's as good as pick your guy. But that's not what Jerry Jones said. Jerry Jones had to be moved over to the side of, hey, let's part ways with Tony Romo. Let's figure out a way to move on from Romo because we got Dak. He makes less money, and he's going to be really good. He just hasn't improved that much. I think he's coming around to where I've always been on Dak, which is when everything is right, he's Daniel Jeremiah, who's joining us next, calls him a trailer, right? He's not a tractor. He's not going to pull things along. But when everything's pulling in the right direction, he goes along quite smoothly. Their problem becomes they don't have a team full of enough dudes so that he has to become a tractor, not a trailer. Romo's one of those guys that's forever going to be known as what could have been if he could have won in the playoffs. He didn't hold on to the ball in Seattle when Parcells was his coach, and Dez didn't hold on to the ball when he appears to have caught it in Green Bay. He got hurt two different years, cost his team a lot. Neither was his fault, but he did in fact get hurt, and it is his body, so on some level, there's, you know, some level of accountability, I guess. Duck or get out of the way. But boy, do you miss him because he was a better quarterback, a better thrower of the football, made more magical things, threw guys open, kept plays and drives alive with his feet within and out of the pocket. And Dak is, yeah, somewhere kind of poor man's Cam Newton. Can be inaccurate, but can be a good runner, has a strong enough arm, is a good enough leader if everything is right. But right now, it ain't right.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at noon Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Let's welcome in Daniel Jeremiah, works for the NFL Network, also the voice, color voice of the L.A. Chargers, who lost to the Kansas City Chiefs. I want to work backwards because I don't understand why so many people want to continue to dig at John Gruden, right? Like, you might not have liked the decision to trade away Khalil Mack, but it wasn't a decision that would pay immediate dividends, right? Like, you trade away a great pass rusher. Of course your pass rush can be crummy, but you did so to get some cap space in the future, a bunch of cap space in the future, and to get two first-round picks. My big takeaway that people are missing on is Derek Carr sucked once they got off script in the second half. How alarmed should I be if I'm a Raiders fan?
Well, let's look at both those issues, Doug. The first one, you're right. We're going to have to wait a couple years before we realize, you know, what they've done with the money that they have now because of Khalil Mack and what they've done with the selections and the draft that they'll get from this. What it did with to me is just shows you that John Gruden didn't think this roster was good enough to win right now, to win big right now. So you got to sacrifice some of that, you know, for the short term, and hopefully it pays off for you there in the long term and you get the pieces that you want. But yeah, I would be a little bit alarmed by what you saw from Derek, you know, and that was some of the things that showed up last night. And we've seen some of this during his time in the NFL were the things that bothered me and I bothered a lot of people when you're watching him at Fresno State, which was, you know, you go to that USC game and you see his eyes drop against the rush a little bit and got a little bit skittish. And he came out his first year and was on fire, and it looked like he had kind of pushed past some of those issues, but they show up every now and then. They definitely showed up in the second half last night.
Okay, we go to the Rams, and look, the Rams seem to figure some stuff out, make some adjustments, but how sure are you that Jared Goff is going to be good enough? Like, some of his weaknesses got exposed in big games last year, most notably in the playoffs. Has he evolved since last season?
I think, look, that game last night, I don't even know what he ended up throwing for. Was it 230 or something around 230, 250? But they had four or five deep shots that he just missed. I mean, he was a foot away from hitting them. I mean, he hits half of those, and we're talking about what a huge game he had, and he's being mentioned as kind of a MVP-type candidate in this offense with all they have around him. You know, Gurley is going to draw the attention each and every week. I always look at it from the standpoint, if you're doing an advanced scouting report against the Rams, it starts with Todd Gurley. What are you going to do to try and slow him down? And Jared's going to be the benefactor of that because, you know, you're going to definitely teams, even as Jared has shown he can do it, they're going to continue to put the ball in his hands and try and do something to slow down Gurley, which is it's a good place to be in when you're a quarterback.
Daniel Jeremiah joining us in the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. Many people salivating at Sam Darnold's first appearance as a Jets starting quarterback. I kind of feel like I told you so. And it's not that he's the world's greatest passer. It's just like that game's a great reason why I think he's going to be good for a long time. He's got the arm strength. He's got the mobility. But he also doesn't get rattled by throwing a pick six on his first pick. What was your takeaway watching Sam Darnold?
Well, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask you to be my accountability partner.
Okay.
Because it's everything in my power. Because I got so much grief when I came through the draft process, and I said I had a higher grade on Sam Darnold than any of the quarterbacks of the last 3 years. And I got crushed because of, you know, the turnovers, this, that, and the other, and I would go through it. Look, he can do everything you want to do on schedule, off schedule. The turnovers early in the year at USC, they were breaking in new wide receivers. It got better and better as the year went along. He carried that team to a Rose Bowl win over Penn State, carried them to a Pac-12 title. This is not the same old USC that was littered with all this talent. Like, he's a legit dude. But I always want to just be careful. Look, hey, so far so good, Doug Gottlieb, but you and me, we both look good right now. But I need you to be my accountability partner so that we do slow down and let's just wait. We'll get to the year 3 mark before we accept our congratulations.
Fair enough. I'm with you on that one. Daniel Jeremiah joining us. On the other side, you saw Jim Bob Cooter's offense, like some of the Jets apparently knew the hand signals. Like, shouldn't Matt Stafford be a little bit better than he was last night?
That was ugly. I was actually having a talk with a coach in the league last night about Stafford, and I've always appreciated what he does throwing the football and just the talent that he has. And I were talking about it. I said, you know, when it's all said and done, when his career's over, well, we remember Matt Stafford is an all-time great thrower, but overall an average quarterback.
Right.
You know, I just wonder if that's what it's going to end up coming down to.
Feels like it. Feels that way. How much are the Giants kicking themselves because Eli just doesn't have it anymore, and now they watch Darnold?
Yeah, I mean, that was what I struggled with because, you know, in just terms of a grade, how they grade at their position, Saquon Barkley, for me, carried a little bit higher grade than Sam Darnold. But I've said, look, if you don't have a quarterback or you have an aging quarterback, you have to take the quarterback if it's close, and it was close with those grades. So, to me, I thought the right decision would have been to take the 21-year-old quarterback that can take that position for, you know, 15 to 20 years. He can man that spot. I thought that would have been the move. But, you know, Saquon Barkley is a unique talent. He's a special player. Had a solid game, you know, capped off by that big 68-yard touchdown run. So I'm not worried about him, you know, not being a great player. He will be a great player. It's just, man, the quarterback position is where it all starts and ends.
Okay, you saw Mahomes in person. I know in talking to the Chargers people, they were like, he's special. Talking to people around the league, he's special. And that's hard because Andy Reid's been so good with so many other quarterbacks. How much of it is Mahomes and how much of it is Reid and that coaching staff?
Well, I mean, yeah, Mahomes has got incredible skill. I mean, he is a very talented thrower. He's a good athlete. But I honestly think just being there in that stadium and watching that game started and ended with Tyreek Hill. I mean, that was the game. I mean, Pat had 4 touchdown passes. One was on a slant that went about, you know, 10 yards that Tyreek took 50. Two were on those. I've been calling it the Clemson shovel pass, and somebody rightfully corrected me on social media. It was actually that was the West Virginia Tavon Austin. That's where that whole thing started.
Right.
With Holgorsen, they ran that thing twice. Those were 3 of the 4 touchdowns. 2 of those little shovel passes, and then a slant. So Tyreek Hill is the one that scares the tar out of you when you watch them. But Pat, he played well, and when he had opportunities, little fullback down the field, he laid up a beautiful ball. And that is as talented an offensive football team as I've seen in a while. I mean, they are loaded.
The Chargers, I mean, you got 4 drop touchdown passes. J.J. Jones drops a punt when it seemed like they still had a chance to get back in it. Plus, he returns 2 kicks he didn't have to return. But, you know, like part of me says, look, I think they're really good and they'll figure it out. Part of me says same old Chargers. Which is it?
There's too many good players for them not to have a good year, you know, and just having a front row seat to that, Doug. Rivers could have thrown, you mentioned those drop passes, he would have thrown for darn near 600 yards against the Chiefs if they catch the football. So I thought offensively they match firepower for firepower with the Chiefs, even as good as the Chiefs were. The Chargers offense was right there. Defensively, they were able to, even they couldn't corral Tyreek Hill, they were able to slow down that run game with Kareem Hunt, which they couldn't do a year ago. So there's some positivity there. They lost the game on special teams. You give up a 90-yard punt return for a touchdown, and you drop a punt at the 2-yard line on the doorstep. You know, that's 14 points.
And he missed field goal.
Yeah, and you miss a field goal. I mean, there's so many. Like, they had one play, I don't remember if you saw it, but where they said that Keenan Allen had stepped out of bounds and didn't reestablish himself, which I thought was that was kind of a ticky-tack call. That's a big play that gets called back. They ran the ball, I think they were over almost 5 yards of carry running the ball with two backs. Eckler had 87 receiving yards. Gordon had over 100 receiving yards. So, you know, hey, let's wait. Let's season unfold a little bit. I will say, man, Joey Bosa, not having him on that front, yeah, you definitely noticed that.
Yeah, and he might be out for a couple of weeks with that foot. Seemed like Deshaun Watson lacked some of the accuracy I thought he had cleaned up last year. Am I misremembering who Deshaun Watson is? Is this who he is? He's not that accurate, or did he just have a bad day?
Well, it was interesting. It was one of the tapes I was looking forward to watching, and when I sat down and studied it, it was okay. You know, coming off the injury, you expect some rust there with the time that he's missed. But I wanted to see more than anything else how they're going to defend him. You know, what is the game plan here defensively? New England, as good as anybody in terms of scheme and what they're going to do. And, Doug, they rushed, I think I counted three or four times that they rushed five. The rest of the game, they rushed four. They had a middle linebacker waiting for Watson. You can call him a spy or if he's just hanging at home, but they had a middle linebacker assigned to him in the middle of the field, and they dropped in coverage. So that's what they're going to do. You blitz him, he is smart. He's going to get the ball out quick. He can throw slants and fades all day long on that if you want to blitz him. And they just didn't do it. They just sat back in coverage and see if he could throw through windows and throw the ball accurately down the field, and he struggled a little bit.
Yeah, how'd he move?
He moved around fine. I mean, he wasn't – the thing about Deshaun is he's always been a smooth athlete, a smooth mover. He's not as explosive as somebody like Lamar Jackson. So, you know, you weren't going to see that. He's not as explosive as Mariota. He's just a real smooth athlete. So I thought he looked very similar movement-wise to what we saw last year.
Daniel Jeremiah, NFL Network, joining us in the Doug Gottlieb Show. Jimmy Garoppolo throws some picks. I thought the parts – again, I didn't watch the game tape, but the parts I watched – it felt like his offensive line was a little overwhelmed, and he didn't have the weaponry going against Minnesota, who, one, faster and better when they play at home, and two, really, really talented. Am I giving Jimmy Garoppolo too much of a pass?
No, and it sounds like a hot take, but you even took it from me. But it's true. I watched that tape. I broke it down. Jimmy Garoppolo played really well. I don't care what the stat sheet says. With what he was up against, and you got to remember, they had injuries to two guards, so they had to kick McGlinchey inside the guard. On two of the three picks, you had an issue with McGlinchey there. One, he just got cleanly beat by Sheldon Richardson, and you got pressure right in his face. Another one, he was kind of late to pass off a twist, which you would expect. He'd never played guard before in his life before this game. So there was that he was dealing with. You had a receiver run a wrong route on the pick six. You had a long drop pass, would have been 50-plus yards to Kittle, which was on the money. You had Pettis that dropped a touchdown. And he was going up against, you know, one or two. It's either defense number one, defense number two, however you want to look at it, on the road. Man, it was not an easy environment. He made some incredible throws. So he's going to be just fine. When I popped in the tape on that, I thought, man, maybe we all overhyped this guy. And then I watched it, and I said, you know what, I don't care what the box score says. He was really good.
Ben Roethlisberger, 5 turnovers. But part of me wants to give him a pass because, well, there was weather. And Tyrod Taylor didn't have much pop on his ball because of weather. What were your thoughts on what happened with Roethlisberger?
Well, it was just sloppy. You know, it was sloppy. He wasn't on the same page. He had the one deep ball. He just was not – the angle taken by Antonio Brown, it wasn't what Roethlisberger was anticipating there. But then just some sloppy play on the move, being reckless with the football. Now he wasn't good. Now that Browns defense got a chance to be really good. Myles Garrett, I think, is a legitimate defensive player of the year candidate. He's that good. But you know, it's been a couple years now with all that he has around him, where you almost left just a little bit underwhelmed by Ben. I don't take away from his greatness, but it seems like you're always expecting a little bit more with what he's got to work with.
No question about it. No question about it. Last thing, Ravens looked incredible against the Bills. Bills, by most people's estimation, worst talent in the league, and look, no one thinks Peterman is the guy ultimately and probably won't be the guy for long. So with that in mind, am I wrong to get excited about how the Ravens look?
No, you're not wrong. I mean, they have the formula. You know, one of the things early in the season I always like to see, what's the formula? What's the formula? How is this team going to win games? And the Ravens, you know, having veteran receivers again for Joe Flacco, the issues they've had developing receivers is well known, but they've hit on so many veterans, and it looked like they hit on all three of those guys. with the way they played. Flacco looked comfortable, and they have waves of guys in the front seven they can throw at you, and they just overwhelmed Buffalo.
Daniel Jeremiah, you can hear him call Chargers games, or listen, or watch him on the NFL Network, or listen to the Move the Sticks podcast. He and Bucky Brooks do a great job. You can also see that on the NFL Network. DJ, you're a busy man. We appreciate you spending some time with us.
Thanks, Doug. Have a good one, man.
All right, you too.